Another two people selected from South Asia. The other one is from the ICICI Bank in India, and myself representing. And I must thank the Lord, despite all these learned people, that I was able to present myself, my thinking, the views, all that. And I think within a matter of the first day, the most of the people realize there is a nation called Sri Lanka, and there is a group of people who has ability to think. And I think the views expressed by my me was very well received there. So I thank God for even to match up to the expectations of the levels of the worldly expectation with regard to ideas, thoughts, how we could really bring new innovative ideas to help the people in providing financial solutions. So I thank God for the opportunity first given to me, and also I had an elite of people there in that hotel called Marina Mandiram. The hotel is one of the five-star hotels there, and so we had an interesting gathering. But I also had the opportunity of visiting two important places. One is a Christian bookshop in Singapore, in a place called City Center. I found this book called The Bait of Satan. It's a new book by John Bevere. I think I have almost gone through while I was traveling in the plane. I read almost half. And I think it's a book that every one of you should read. Superb book. The Bait of Satan. And I think you and I don't know sometimes the trap that Satan brings on our way to trap us. And I think rightfully God led me to this place. And also I was able to buy this video on the history of Christianity. Is also again only one piece that was available in this bookshop. The six-part overview of the 2000 years of history of. So it's a visual form, and so more history would be there, so that I could kind of bring more visual thinking to this whole process. So I thank God for that. And I also had opportunity of visiting another fellowship like this. In Singapore, they had a kind of Thursday meeting, so I had the opportunity of contacting that brother and going there and being with them. Hopefully, God willing, that brother from Singapore, he said he decided to come over here, and also he's a very good teacher in the world. He also believes the same like-mind thinking of us. And also what has impressed me was also I had one day went out for dinner with Sri Lankan Airlines country manager, who is a friend of our family. He was telling that one of his friends was very rich accountant from Sri Lanka. His father also a group of company chairman. Yes, plenty of money. They are swimming in money. And I think he said he was devastated. You know, my friend was also devastated. Because he said that man is about 35 or 33, he's stuck with bone cancer. And he's taking treatment in Singapore. Not only that, he said that he's another friend of him, he's also another friend, also stuck with cancer. So this, my friend was totally devastated. He's saying, what is the purpose of having money? So I think we knew that very well. So I was able to share with him the thinking that we have about God. But you know, things, people who lives in Singapore, very materialistic, you know, every human being they are living, they don't believe in God. They believe in God, but they are more concerned about making money. So I was able to share with him that God can do many things. You know, whatever the money you have, you may have millions and billions of dollars in your bank account, but yet when a sickness strike you, that's the end of the day.
only God thereafter can. You can go to all the best doctors, but yet, you know, so he has a child, that man who was suffering with cancer. So I was able to share with my friend, who is also a very materialistic person, the country manager of Sri Lanka in Singapore, Sri Lankan Airlines, because I said that, you know, at the end of the day, it's not money that is going to make you a happy person. So that's well accepted. I also had opportunity from there because, again, as I told you, that I'm representing a network of called Banking with the Poor. The next year there is a conference that is going to be held in Hanoi, Vietnam. So the secretariat in Australia said, since I'm coming to Australia or Singapore, so they paid the balance payment for my ticket and for accommodation in a hotel there. So I visited Vietnam under their sponsorship. And I was there also able to see, you know, Vietnam is a country that was devastated, totally destroyed. In 1975, there was no country like. But, you know, unbelievable, though they have a communist regime, within that 30 years they have developed very much ahead of Sri Lanka. People in Vietnam, very simple but yet hard working. I was praying that the Lord would lead us to somebody, because there is no religion there, there is no culture. People are again like Singapore, looking for money. I was able to meet the highest in the place, like the governor of the central bank, which is a minister, and some of the top level officials during my stay. My prayer was that God would really give us an opportunity to understand whom the Lord is going to lead us to in that country. I'm sure there may be one or two souls who are belong to the Lord even in Vietnam. Because the countries, last year they had about 5 million tourist arrivals. 5 million. Compared to Sri Lanka, you will be happy if we get about 200,000. Last year they had 5 million tourists arriving in Vietnam. The country is progressing. So I thank God all this while the Lord kept me in His care and His protection. And God gave me all the facilities to move about there with that country. So thank God. So I miss here. Brothers and sisters, we are once again in a very important study here tonight. We are in the concluding, I will conclude today the sixth church age. And from next Sunday onwards, we will come to the Laodicean age, which is a very important time. And I think you will understand some of the important crucial things which you and I need to know. While I was reading this book, I was able to understand few things which also important to all of us. So once again I thank God for leading me to right place at the right time, for right things, so that I can also myself correct myself and also put it in right way and also share the same experience with all of you. Because I believe the Lord wants all of us to right up to match to the stature of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, some of the things, that's why it's called the bait of Satan. So some of us, without really knowing, walk into the traps of Satan. Some of us, without knowing really, are eating from the plate of the Satan. That are without our knowledge. So it is in that context, I believe, the Lord wants that every one of us to understand His way and His expectations. And I believe His purpose is to reveal things more and more. You know, God has placed many people in many places. So that purpose, ultimate purpose is to reveal His absolute plan and bring all of us to absolute stature of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think that in that context, if you open yourself, that you will be able to have the leading of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will lead you to all truth. And as you are led to the truth, your life will match up the Lord Jesus Christ. As Sian said this evening, our God is a living God. He is the one who has created heaven and earth. You know, nothing can be compared to what God does. He is not a God that can be put in a box and worshipped. He is not a God that cannot do anything. He is the one who has created every universe in his place. It's a man who has lost control. When you also go to a country like Singapore, you will see very often how materialistic the people are. People want to make more and more and more money. More money, they are not happy. They want to make more money. Highly materialistic world we are living in. How many people are searching and seeking God? Therefore, let's go back to what we started. I think we remember we are in the sixth church age. Remember, the messenger is the John Wesley. And I remember telling you that the Lord is in the process of restoration of the things which was lost during the fourth church age. When the woman took those things, like just shall live by faith, justification, sanctification, and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And here we find that during Martin Luther, God restored back to the church, to the true church, that the faith in the not in the creed, not in a church, but in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the sacrifice that He has offered for you and me. And here we remember telling you the message that was given in the sixth church age. In concluding, God identified the condition of the church and He says, I know your works, you are like this. In the church He identified the good seed, the true church, and the first false church. And He tells the false church that condition and the true church their condition. And finally He comes to the final message in this church. And then He talks about, we remember talking to you about the key of David that upon the shoulder of our Lord. You see, when it came to that, He has the key of the David on his shoulder, last time we mentioned. So what happens is it signifies the absolute authority and power that the Lord has over the bride and the kingdom. And that's why we mentioned that the Lord Himself is responsible for the church, for the bride, nobody else. His absolute responsibility, because you remember He told Peter about the key, that is key, that keys which resulting you and I today have the opportunity of being born of God. So what happens is I remember telling these things. The key on the shoulder signifies Lord's responsibility and His headship over the church, true church. So the Lord is responsible for me and you because He is the one who opens things for us. We cannot open things. You know, the things opened by the Lord to us. We do not go and open it, but the Lord Himself opens things. When the bride has been committed to the groom, I explained to you. Let's go back to. So God, in His sovereign knowledge, knows all His people. Now we know here, even few people who are gathered here. Now you are gathered here for the purpose of knowing the truth. Knowing what plan of God. And I think one reason that you and I are here this evening, because God of course has chosen us, and it is God who has a revealing things to us. And also you and I have a hunger and a thirst for the things of God. Because from the time that we are born of God, we seek His word, His food. And as a result of this hunger that you and I have, that hunger is what makes us difference between other people. Even this evening, we know there are many Christian churches, many people who are worshipping God, many people who are preaching. But I want to tell you tonight that we become a different people not because we are better people, not because we are kind of people who are superior in many things. No. But we are different people because God has revealed His plan to us, which is not revealed to others. What are the things that God knows every one of us? As I told you in the scriptures earlier, He says, every church, He says, I know thy works. So in the Lord knows me and you very well, very clearly. And He knew us before the foundation. He knew us before the foundation. That's why Peter says, His foreknowledge, He chose us. He called us. And for us He died. And He washed us in His blood. And then what happens is the sanctification takes place in our lives. That's why you and I are here. You come here to hear the word. And as you hear the word, you go not just hearing it only, you allow the word of God to work in your life. You know, we know very clearly that the Lord paid the price for us. And we belong to the Lord. And we don't belong to a kind of a any organized religion. We belong to Him. And we know that we are also committed to Him. And He accepts the obligation that He had towards us. And we know He is the head of us. And we obey His word. The difference between the bride of Christ and the other churches is the absolute delight and loyalty to the supreme word of God. To understand it. Nothing can come between that. And that's the difference. And we understand that He has chosen us. And He has chosen us before the foundation. And we were in his thought, in His mind. Even before the Lord was crucified and sacrificed. So the key is referred as the key of David was a prophetic type. Perfected in that David was the king of Israel. Now Jesus is spoken after flesh as the son of David, promised to sit on the throne of David in millennium. Having the key upon His shoulder, our Lord Jesus has power and authority to usher the kingdom age, the millennium reign. This Philadelphia age gives way to the final age, after which millennium age is ushered. You know, when we finish this sixth age, we are coming to the seventh age. And in the seventh age, once we are in the seventh age, once we understand, you would realize how close we are to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the bride of Christ. We will understand some important truth today. So having possession of all the keys, death, hell, the Lord will raise up His elect Gentile bride to sit with Him in His throne. Remember, one of the purpose of the Lord is that we have been saved from death and hell. You know, when Jesus conquered, He conquered death and He conquered hell and He conquered sickness. When He died on the cross, He died for you and me because of the transgression of Adam and Eve. For the sin, we are destined to die. Death was imputed to us. He said, the day you eat, you shall die. So the death comes to every one of us. But Jesus came and paid the penalty of that debt. And He said, it is finished. So if we have died, and it is He died for me and for you, therefore, Jesus' death, He overcame death by rising from the dead. And in Christ Jesus, you and me have the overcoming power of death. Do you know that you and I, if you are the bride of Christ, will not face death? There are two things possible for you and me that will take place. If you and I fall into the category of the true bride, there are two things, because we will not face death. It refers to the second death. The Bible says the dead in Christ shall rise first. Even He told Mary and Martha when He talks about Lazarus, I am the resurrection. And he says the elect will be raised in the last day. We have a glorious hope because we, you and I, have no fear of death. I don't know. Sometimes people are scared to die. Death is the most horrible experience one can think. More than that, if somebody have a terminal illness, you know that you are going to die. Imagine the condition of death. But one thing I can tell you, you and I, we don't have a fear of death. Because we know, even if we die, the Lord will raise us from the dead. Jesus said, like Paul said in Thessalonians, the dead in Christ shall rise first. We who are alive shall be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. There are two things possible. Now, if you and I were to face, go through death before the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, we know that we will be gone into the sixth dimension, which is the paradise, with the Lord. We will take up our heavenly bodies and we will be with the Lord. Our body will decay here. But should the Lord come in my time and in your time, I'm sure it will happen like that. What will happen is you and I will not face death because this body would change. The Bible says the seven thunders will utter their voices. When they utter their voices, that you and I will have the rapturing faith. Do you know? You need to be raptured, you need to have faith. You know, it is by faith that we are saved, by grace. Even you and I receive healing to our physical body by faith. But do you know, even the rapture is by a faith, is an act of faith. And you don't, at the moment you and I don't have that rapturing faith. You don't have, I don't have. But you and I will get that rapturing faith when the seven thunders, which I will explain to you, when I speak to you about the seven seals, when the seven thunders, which is mentioned in the book of Revelation, when they begin to come and utter what is not in the word of God, you and I would receive, you know, how that the faith comes? Faith cometh by hearing, hearing of the word of God. But do you know, there is something that is uttered which is not in the word, which will be uttered to us very shortly by the seven men which God would raise, where they will send right across the, all over the world, including this country, even any or every other country. And they would walk into your house, even if you are in this meeting, you would walk into this place, and they would speak the word, and as you hear the word, you receive it, and then you receive the rapturing faith, and the body would change, and you are ready for to go with the Lord. But I will explain to you something there later. So what I want to tell you is, death has no hold on me and you, because Jesus has overcome death, and I'm in Christ Jesus, I'm more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. If Jesus overcame death, I'm in Christ Jesus, death has no hold on me and you. Therefore, don't fear death. Jesus has overcome the death, he has paid the penalty. In the same time, Jesus conquered hell. Because when he was on the cross, he died, he went right to the bottom. And released the Old Testament saints from the dungeon to go into the sixth dimension, which is the paradise. And in the same time, now you and I are saved by grace, redeemed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we are seated in the heavenly places. You know, if you are seated in heavenly places, only you can hear the voice of God. You can hear the genuine true revelation of God if you are seated in the heavenly places. So you and I are seated in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Therefore, hell has no hold on me and you. That's true. Hell has no hold. But make sure that you are seated in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And if you are seated in the heavenly places, one thing is sure, that you would hear the voice of God. You hear the truth of God, the word of God. You will be led by the Holy Spirit. You will be really brought to the very presence of the Holy Ghost. So, when Jesus has opened that key, when the death and hell was taken away, the bride now sits. Right now we are seated in the heavenly places. But the day would come that we will sit with Him in His throne. Now this right, nobody would have. How many people today in the world clamoring to sit on various thrones of power? Whether it's president, prime minister, king, queen, or any powerful position, people are clamoring to walk in and have that. But the day will come, the bride of Christ, you and I, would sit in the throne of the with the Lord Jesus Christ, who would rule and reign. And that's the very reason that you and I should be glad. Jesus not only overcame death and hell, He overcame sickness. By the stripes of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are healed. He took those 39 stripes, nails on His hands, on His feet, heart pierced, crown of thorn, for any possible our bodily disorders, defect, deformities, disabilities, diseases, was incorporated into all those what He went through. Therefore, you and I have a right to receive, because Jesus has overcome. And that's what it means, that He has opened it for us and no man closed it. If Jesus speaks to us, nobody can take that word away. To understand this clearly, what it means, that we will need to refer. You see, to understand, now He says, what He opens, no man can shut. And what He shut, no man can open. Now you read here, Chapter 23, verse 13 says, "But woe unto the scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites, for ye shut up the kingdom against men, for ye are neither going yourself, neither suffer ye them that are entering." Now here at that time, the Pharisees and the scribes refers to the organized religion, the organized Christianity, other people. You know, do you know, today, even organized Christianity shut up people receiving the fullness of His word. Sometimes, when you come and begin to understand the truth of the word of God, sometimes what do the people do? They say, "No, I went to this meeting, that brother spoke about this original sin, this Cain and serpent seed," and then you go and tell your pastor in the church, "My goodness, don't go there. That is a cult. That is a wrong doctrine. That is not in the Bible. That is this, that, and all these things." And then you go, we tell here, what is the sin of Ham? Ham committed incest with the mother. My goodness, where did you find that? No, don't ever go there. You go and tell these experiences. What you hear here, with all those people, what do they? Don't get. They shut it. And that's why Jesus told these people, that's what exactly they did. The Pharisees at that day, when Jesus was preaching, when He was telling the things of the kingdom, when He was bringing forth the truth, the Pharisees said, "Don't ever go associate with this man. Don't ever go, because he's blaspheming God. He is doing something wrong." So he cast everybody that is going after Jesus. He says, then Jesus turned to them and says, "Woe unto you." Scribes means they were the people who were preaching the word. The Pharisees were also the people who were priests. And Jesus said to them, hypocrites, ye shut the kingdom against them, men. Ye are neither going yourself, neither suffer them. You know, when Jesus opens, now I'm not here to open things. I'm only, as I told you very clearly, I'm only a delivery boy. I'm only a messenger. You see, the messages come from the Lord. It is the Lord who opens. I cannot open a word here. It is the Holy Spirit, because Jesus said, when the Holy Spirit comes, He will lead you to all truth. And He will bring everything to pass. So therefore, it is neither me opening, because it is the Holy Spirit opens to me, and we share it with you. Therefore, when you, Jesus said, don't cast the pearls before the swine. When you take this and don't compare with the people who are, you know, have different plans and ambitions, sometimes they will shock you and put fear. Through the false teaching and misrepresentation of the truth, they shut up the kingdom, preventing men and women entering into the revelation of God's kingdom made flesh among them in the person of Jesus Christ. At that time, when Jesus was bringing the truth, the gospel, the good news of the kingdom, the Pharisees, Sadducees, organized religion at that day prevented people coming and listening to Him, prevented people, you know, going after Him, and said, why are you going after Him? He is blasphemous teachings. Aren't we seeing that today also? When we bring the truth of the word of God, when we try to enlighten the people of that, they are asking, who is this man? Who is these people who are telling this? And they shut the kingdom from the people. This takes place in our time by the organized Christian religion, by their forms of godliness, programs and their religious activities. They shut up the kingdom from the genuine people. In Luke 11:52, Jesus said, woe unto you lawyers, who have taken away the key of knowledge. Ye entered not in yourself, but them that entered ye hinder. Today how many people, today you go to any organized Christian church, Pentecostal or evangelical, they have their programs, they have their teachings, but when it comes to the true word, they prevent people from experiencing the true knowledge. They say here, Jesus said, the key of knowledge they take away from people. But here in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks stands Jesus with the key, the power, authority and knowledge in His shoulder, the spiritual revelation. And after His death and burial and resurrection, Jesus opening the revelation of the kingdom to two people on the road to Emmaus. You remember, Jesus always reveals things. One classic example is even after death and resurrection, where Jesus was revealing the word to the people whom He desired. Jesus in John 9:39 said, for judgment I am coming to this world, that they which see may not see, that they see might be made blind. You see, today, at that time when Jesus said, when I came, that they see may not see, and they might be made blind. And today how many people are blind in the organized Christian religion? They don't understand this truth. How can they understand the sacrifice of the blood of Jesus Christ without understanding the original sin? What made Adam and Eve to commit sin? What was the sin of Adam? What was the sin of Eve? Without knowing that, you don't understand the value of the sacrifice of the blood of Jesus Christ. He came to open the eyes of the spiritually blind and shut the eyes of those who profess to see but rejected this message. At that time it happened, even it is happening now. The eyes of understanding which He opened would never again be shut by man-made theology. The eyes which were made blind would never see spiritual things. You see, sometimes person in the Catholic Church would see this light and come out of it. You cannot see this and be part of it. It's not possible. A person in the Anglican Church, the Lord would reveal this truth and he will come out of it. You can never be a part of, when you know the truth, you can never be part of that. Person in an evangelical or Pentecostal organization, when the Lord reveal it, he will come out of it. But I can tell you from here, by God's grace and mercy, that those people, the organized religion, will never know the truth. If they know the truth, they have to give up it. They have to come out of it. They have to leave their organizations. Come and identify with the Word of God. Colossians 12:13, giving thanks unto the Father which has made us to meet the partners of inheritance of the saints in light, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of His Son. Tonight we are here because we have been made the sons and daughters. Not only we have been made sons and daughters, we have been made translated into the kingdom of His Lord, kingdom of the Lord. Jesus, who had the key of power and authority on His shoulder, has through the power of His word translated us into the kingdom and shut others. You know, we are the children of the kingdom. If you and I are the children of the kingdom, you would hear the things of the kingdom. You would begin to see the things of the kingdom. You would begin to enjoy the things of the kingdom, which God has richly reserved for you. And here it says in the message, Revelation 3:8, I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee open door, no man can shut. Now this is a message to the sixth church. He says, behold, I know thy works. I have set before thee open door, no man can shut. For thou hast a little strength and hast kept my word and hast not denied my name. Remember what the Lord is saying here? He says here, thou hast little strength and hast kept my word and hast denied my name. Let's understand this. The works are directly related to the portion of the word revealed to that particular age. You remember, as I was telling, in each age there was an element of truth that is revealed to each age. In the first age, the second age, third age, fourth age, there's an element of truth that God brings to the bride of Christ. And when we discuss about the seventh, we will see all the truth have been revealed in our time. The works are directly related to the portion of the word of revealed to the particular age. The works required by God are always based on and judged by the word given to us. You know, you see, God, now this is important. No one is judged for what they don't know. For His judgment on any one of us based on what? On that which He has revealed in our day. Now when it comes to each age, the people would be judged in that day of the amount of revelation that God brought in that day. Now in the time of Luther, he brought the truth of justification. And then, when he bore the truth of justification, the sanctification and the other things were yet to be brought it back. So the people would judge on the amount of revelation that given in that age. They would not be judged on the revelation that is given thereafter. Because, naturally, that was the day God will judge. But when it comes to our time, we will be judged because God has given everything to us. What is given to Luther, John, and in all the ages, every truth is with us. So, our Christianity in this world today, God will judge everyone in this world with regard to all the revelation that He has given. Because by our age, there are so many things are open to us. But whereas, when it comes to the age of the seventh, say second age, third age, fourth age, there was an element of truth that brought. And people were judged based on that truth that they were available to them. He knows our work, my work and your work, whether they are based on what we know, the true word, or on a church creed. Our work, what we give to the Lord, has to be based on His word. Are we doing what the God says or what the church says? May we allow the Holy Spirit to bring our to remembrance again and again the truth of Jesus' word. And Jesus said, it is written, man shall not live by the bread alone, but every word that proceed out of the mouth of God. The open door, behold, I have said before, the open door no man can shut. And we thank God today. God has opened a door for us. This door is this, the truth of the word of God, and no man can shut. Our Lord Jesus set an open door for those who are willing to come out of man-made religion and enter into the fullness of His word. You see, sometimes some people say, I have heard, you know, you don't need to know all these things. When we go to heaven, I remember, I was in a denominational church, Pentecostal, sometimes they say, you don't need to know all these things. But when you go there, you will know all these things. No. This word is given here for us to know everything here. You remember the story I told about the caterpillar? He has to eat everything. If he eat half, he dies. So this word is fully given to me and you to understand. That is why God is raising people and revealing it. All the truth. Now this Bible, there is nothing that is hidden for me and you. Because Bible says, remember, one of the messages in the third age is, I will give you the hidden manna. The manna which was hidden, I will give it to you. Remember, I explained to you, only the priest used to have the hidden manna, and he opened it up for us, and now you will have access to this hidden manna. We know the truth. And that's exactly what God has done to us. What God started in Luther, built on Wesley, from Wesley and from into post-Pentecostal revival, he crowns with full revelation of the mystery of God. But one must go through the door to recognize it. Jesus said, I am the door, and by me if any man enter, he shall be saved. Church is not the door. The Christ is the living word is the door. You remember, one of the things the Roman Catholic Church, when it established in AD 300 plus afterwards, one of the things they did was they got people to believe in the church, like the Roman Emperor. Like the Roman Empire, people was to believe in the empire. So they were to believe in the church, and that same thinking fell to other denominational churches. So the denominational churches strongly, even Christian denominations, even Pentecostals, they strongly say, you know, we cannot depend on individual. You know, don't go by that person. Believe the church. Church is the supreme thing. So that's why it says here that Jesus, when He opens it for me and you, one thing is, He will keep on opening things for you. And I remember, I came to know the Lord in 1976. In 1981, the Lord brought me to this message. Opened my understanding. Revealed this truth to me. And I came out of the organized religion, a denomination. And thereby, by God taking me by His hand, revealed this truth to me. Through various ways. I was not in desert. I was not deprived of His word. But had I been in organized religion, I wouldn't have got this truth that the Lord has revealed to me. And that's what God will do. In the last age, the door is swung open. According to Revelation 10:7, the mystery of God is finished. You take your Bibles right now. Open it to Revelation 10:7. Read. What does it say? Revelation 10:7. Okay, here it says, but in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God will finish, as he had declared to his servants the prophets. So, you know, there cannot be mystery when the seventh church age is finished. When the seventh church age, when the Laodicean church age, when it is finished, brothers and sisters, Laodicean church age started in 1906, and we are in the just concluding moment of that. And during this age, the entire mystery of the Word of God is being revealed. That's what it says. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he begins to sound, the mystery of God will be finished. So, when the seventh age is finished, there cannot be any mystery. I must tell you, there's no mystery to me in the Bible now. There's no mystery. But if you go to other churches, they may be Pentecostal, they may be organized religion. There are a lot of mysteries they don't understand. They say, you know, that's a mystery. The Trinity is a mystery. Godhead is a mystery. This is a mystery. That is a mystery. Don't question that. You know. But I want to tell you, the mystery finished. There is no mystery. Because it is now revealed to the bride. Very much. That's what the Bible says. In the days of the voice. Now we are in the days. We are in the days. The mystery is finished. And now the mystery is brought one by one to you. In 1976, when I came to know the Lord, and 1981, God brought me to this divine revelation, to the message of the truth. And since that time, every day the Lord opens the word and reveals the truth. And I know some of you would not understand some of the truth that we have mentioned. Why God is revealing this thing to the bride? Because He wants the bride to be like Him. Understand everything in full message. Man-made religion, man-made theology would try to shut the door and stop unfolding mystery of God. Thou hast a little strength and hast kept my word. Now he refers to the church in the sixth age. The strength come by the word. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them. You know, our strength come from not drinking Nestle malt or things like that. Okay, that's good if you, you know, have opportunity to drink milk or any good thing. But our strength come from the word. You see, the strength come from the word. He sent his word. And that's where the strength lies. The Lord is my strength and my song. And He has become my salvation. He is my God and I will prepare Him a habitation. My Father and I will exalt Him. That's what the words Exodus 15:2 says. The Lord is my strength. So the strength that there was a church in the sixth age, they had little strength because they kept the word. It's as long as you keep the word, you have the strength. But as long as you move away from the strength, you become a weak person. Go your way and eat. Nehemiah says, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send the portion unto them whom nothing is prepared. For this is the day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. So our strength is the Lord's strength. You see, sometimes people don't experience the strength of the Lord. What remind me all the time, every day, as a practice what I do is, this is very important to you also. Maybe you can also do that. What David did. David, as a child as he is, he went before Goliath. Goliath came with his might, with his physical strength, his knowledge, his ability, his armory, his sword, his spear. And he went before David and says, you think I'm a dead dog that you come like this? But David said to him, you come before me with your strength, with your might, with your all this sword and with your all. But I said, I come before you
in the name of the Lord of Hosts of Israel. And he stuck. And he stuck there.
You know, when you and I go to this world, I do this now at home. Maybe you can do this. I experienced mighty power. Even, you know, when I went to this conference also, as I went out of the room, I said this. You know, it's very important. Try this. If it is working. You know, when this world is full of corruption, full of jealousy, full of, corrupt wickedness, they are all have different ambitions. They are greedy people in this world. Everywhere in this world. Everybody is greedy, selfish, wicked, crooked and all. And they have a lot of connections. Remember the people in this world, they have today, any country, anywhere you go, it is a connection that works. When I was in India, Vietnam, they said, you know, to get this thing done, you have to get the blessings of the top man. So I had to go and meet him and have a close chat with him and tell him, you know, you will benefit this, you know. So his blessings were given. So you need to always, whatever you do, you have to have a connection. If you are connected to the president or the minister, prime minister in our country, imagine getting anything is you have no connection. So you have to have a connection, because without the connection you are totally lost. You will be like a dog if you have no connection to the high authorities. Same way, you have to have a lot of knowledge. So you go for universities, this degree, that degree, you know, various things. And then you also have a lot of people in this world, they have a lot of power. I mean, let's acknowledge people in this world, a lot of power. There are a lot of connections. And you and I, before these people, with our own strength, if you go with your own strength, you will be just finished, nothing. Therefore, what I do it even now, every day, I work this. Even when I left Sri Lanka, I always did that as I stepped out. What I do is today, every day when I step out of the house, I say, no, I know this world is crooked. I know this world is wicked. I know the people of this world are jealous. They are greedy. They have depending on connections. I have nothing of that. But one thing, I'm a son. I'm a son of the living God. My connection is to the one who's created the whole universe. My relationship is one who runs the universe, who keeps the sun in his place, the moon in his place, the stars in his places. And that's my connection. And I do not go in my own wisdom, but I go with the wisdom that God gives to me. That wisdom is greater and mightier than the human wisdom which come from any best universities in this world. Then I say, as I step out of this house, as I get into my car, as I go into the road, I go in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Even now, when I enter my office, to my building, from the gates, I say in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. As my car goes through the gates of my bank entrance, I say in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then I come to the entrance and I say in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. From the lift I go and I've seen a tremendous changes taking place since then. I want to tell you, encourage you, do this. When you step out of this house, your house, and even I was doing that, even in Singapore, as I was walking out of the hotel room, and I say, Father, I go before all these learned people. They are professors. They are mighty people. But I'm an insignificant person. And I go in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, and he did that. He lifted. And I think it can happen. You may have that strength. Our strength is not in the qualifications you have. Our strength is not the relationship that I have with the minister or the prime minister or the president. Our relationship is the relationship of the mighty God. The one who runs this universe. One who keeps his sun in his place. One who is keeping the moon in his place. And he is the one who can do mighty things. Change things. He can shake the world. He can shake the universe. And that's God that you have and I have. When you go in the name, there's victory. There's power in his name. There's deliverance in his name. There's healing in His name, and that power God has given to us. The Lord is light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Whom shall I be afraid? Psalm says, David said, since the fall of man, the Lord has strengthened him with His word. The only weapon of our defense is His word. You know, God will never fail His word, nor will His name. I have written unto you, young men, because you are strong. The word of God abide in you. You have overcome the wicked one. Now he is saying here, you are strong because what? The word of God abide in you. If you want to be a strong person, if I want to be a strong person, make sure the word of God abides in you. Don't, okay, you can drink vitamin. You can take, Nestomalt and all these proteins. But make sure you let the word abide in you. And if that abides in you, become a stronger. That's the tonic. That's the tonic for you and me as the children of God. There's no other tonic bigger and better than that. Out of this age came some of the greatest preachers and teachers of the word to give strength unto the elect. During the age which lasted the 240 years up until 1906, the sixth church age, the Philadelphian age with the messenger John Wesley, there were mighty great preachers that came during this period who became strong people. People like Spurgeon, you have heard about Charles Spurgeon, Parker, Edward, Bunyan, Barnard preached and taught the word with clarity and boldness. Glorious, you know, you take some of the books written by this age. In fact, I had a book which I read, and it's a daily, it's called, I think I encourage you to buy that book, a daily devotion book. It's called My Utmost for His Highest. Have you heard that book? Yeah. It's, I think it's a wonderful book. I think that devotions, I think it's sometime available in Prajna. My Utmost for His Highest or something like that. You know, I have that book with me. Wonderful book. And those are people who came out of this age, who had that commitment to the Lord. He says, has kept my word and not denied my name. Remember again the messages, not kept, not denied the name. Emphasis of all teaching and preaching of this age was to none other than one who bore the name which are saved, the Lord Jesus Christ. The name was the most significant even at that time, even in our time. He was glorified among the people. He was magnified before their eyes and established in their hearts. Satan's false teachers of the word were exposed. Truth were coming forth, ultimately being victory over the death, hell, grave, and the final in the last age, as God promised would send a restoration in our age, in the Laodicean age. In Revelation 3:9 says, behold, I will make them a synagogue of Satan which say they are Jews and are not, but to lie. Behold, I will make them come and worship before thy feet and know I have loved thee. You see, their day will come. The false people would have to come before the true bride and worship. Here in the sixth age, the word of the Lord rises to protect God's believing remnant and make a way for the last age to finish the mystery of God. As much as those of the synagogue of Satan profess to be true church, Bible says they are lying. Now they have a lot of synagogue of Satan. Even today you have a lot of synagogues of Satan. They profess to be believing God, but they are lying. And these things goes right back to Eden. You remember all the time between the lie and the truth. It's not outside, as I told you. It is within the Christianity, the falsehood and the truth. Abel and Cain, they were within the family. It is in the family, the truth and the lie. So it's what happens is, you find among the Christianity, you find the truth and the lie, the true and the false. Jacob and Esau, also in the family. They were in the same family, but one was Jacob, other one was Esau. Isaac and Ishmael, within the family. And then you find again the same company, Judas and Jesus. And through the ages we are seeing the true church versus the pretenders. But here in the Philadelphian age, God makes a promise to His bride, saying, "Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet and know that I have loved thee." Our Lord drove Cain out of His presence. Today though many Christian churches worship, the presence of God is not there. Esau was deprived of his birthright. Even today, many Christians will not have the right to the throne of the Lord. Esau hated. Jacob was loved by God. You know, God always loved His bride. Ishmael was out of Abraham's camp, and Judah was brought to hell. Here in this age, God promised that He would cause the false synagogue of Satan bride to come and bow before the true elected bride, and they know they are loved. "Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon the world, try them that dwell upon the earth." You know, He says to the sixth age that He will keep them from the hour of temptation that will come upon the earth. "Thou hast kept the word of my patience." Here we have a compliment and promise from the Lord. We live in a very impatient world, as I told you. Demand everything now. Most lack patience to obtain things for which they strive to live. As Christians, we wait on the Lord for His timing and His way in our lives. We are exhorted in the word to add patience to our faith. With patience in God's, we possess healing, the promise of resurrection, and catching away of the living saints. Recognizing this patience in Philadelphian age, our Lord Jesus Christ gives His promise. "I will also keep thee from the hour of temptation, which will come upon the world, to try them that dwell upon the earth." As this world moves into a time of end of all things, Jesus promises elect children that He would keep them from the hour of temptation, which is prophesied to come upon all the earth to try them that dwell on the earth. The elected bride of the Lord Jesus Christ will not go through the time of great tribulation or the hour of temptation spoken here. This hour of temptation would be a temptation to the bride. Then it would have to be in spiritual realm, some great deceiving spiritual move, so much like the real thing that it would deceive the very elect. The hour of temptation that would come upon this world will be spared for the bride of Christ. Our Lord Jesus promised that He would not suffer His bride to be tempted with it. He promised that He will keep thee from the hour of temptation. We will not go through this great tribulation, the bride. Here He says, "Behold, I come quickly, and hold fast thou hast, no man take thy crown. Him that overcometh I will make him a pillar in the temple." This is the final concluding message to the Laodicean. "Him that overcometh I will make him a pillar in the temple of God, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is the New Jerusalem, which cometh out of the heaven, and I will write upon him my new name. Behold, I come quickly." His second coming indeed will be quickly, as a thief in the night, because this is a coming seek only to the bride. You know, though it says it will come as a thief in the night, not to the bride. For He will finish His work, cut it short in righteousness. Behold, the short work will be the Lord make upon the earth. The three comings of the Lord that take place. First, He came to redeem the bride, when He came 2000 years ago. Then He comes to claim the bride. Now that is what it is taking place right now. The Lord is claiming the bride. He has identified the bride one by one, one by one. And during this completion of the seventh age, the bride would be taken off from the scene where nobody would know. And the third time, He is going to come with the bride to rule and reign 1,000 years, this present world. in the second coming for his bride as a thief in the night, and will reveal only to those who are walking in the spiritual light revelation of his word for this age. Ye are not in darkness that they should be overtaken as a thief. You remember? That's what Paul says. You are not in the darkness that they should be overtaken as a thief. You are children of the light. If you are children of the light, the Lord will not come to you as a thief in the night. He will not. But it will be thief in the night to the foolish Christians, foolish bride, the foolish virgins. It will be thief in the night because they will be sleeping and he has come and gone. Not every eye will behold his coming, but when he comes with his bride to execute judgment, every eye shall behold. When the Lord comes to take his bride, not many people will see. But when he comes with his bride to rule and reign, everybody will see. Be watchful, watching fulfillment of the scriptures for your day and walk in the rapturing light. At the time of coming of the Lord Jesus Christ for his bride, as I told you, dead in Christ shall rise first. Appear to living that in waiting for the rapture. You see, the first thing that will happen in the Laodicean church age, in a short while, first thing when the seven thunders begin to utter, the dead in Christ shall rise. Dead in Christ shall rise first. Now, there will be 40 days. You see, the denomination church, a very wrong thing. They say, it's okay, Christ will come, suddenly everybody will go. They say, you are a Christian who are driving a bus, and the Lord comes, the driver goes, the bus goes, and to the precipice, and people it destroys. And you are a Christian pilot, you are piloting a plane, and then you are taking the plane from, say, Singapore to Cambodia, Singapore, and on your way in the sky, the pilot is gone, the plane goes somewhere else and crash. Say, you are a Christian who are trying bicycle, and Christ comes, you have taken bicycle, goes, hey, why like that? That foolishness, that will never happen. That is wrong. But that is what the denomination Christianity teach. When the Christ comes, everybody will go like tuck tuck. No, it will not happen. Read the revelations. There will be 40 days. Where first thing would be, dead in Christ shall rise. And if you are part of the bride, you would see your dead. You would see if you have a dead friend who are born of God, who are part of the bride, you will see him. You will see him before you are taken, you will see his face. If you have a dead aunt who have been born of God, who are a child of God, you would see her face. You would see all the people who are dead in Christ. That is exactly what happened, because Jesus gives a very exact picture what happens. Look, go back to the scriptures. You see, when Jesus died, the Bible says in Matthew 27 verse 53, and the graves were opened, many dead bodies of the saints which slept across arose and came out of the graves, resurrection, went into the Holy Spirit and appeared to many. All these saints that rose from the dead, you know, it appeared to many people. They were able to recognize Peter, Paul, all those people, all the Abraham, Isaac, all these people, they recognized. Because they were there for 40 days. And 40 days and 40 nights they were on the earth, being appearing to many people. So in the same way, when the Lord comes, the first thing will be dead in Christ will rise. And you are, and I be a part of it. So don't worry about death. Even if we die, make sure if you are living before the rapture, you will see your friend. You will see your relations. Along with them, you would go. And they would be there for 40 days. Like it happened in the old, the like time of Jesus Christ. Those resurrected saints did not appear to everyone. They did not appear to everyone. But perhaps it was the resurrection of Jesus himself. Even remember, Jesus also did not appear to everybody. But he said he appeared to the people that concerned, about 500 people. If God raised the third day, showed openly. But not all the people, but unto witness chosen before. not even to us who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. You know, after he rose from the dead, he was there for 40 days, ministering to them, talking to them. So was the saints. All the saints that were rose, they were there for 40 days. So what will happen is, when the Lord comes, the first act is, the dead saints is going to be raised from the dead. And they would be able to, you will be able to see. And during that process, your body would change. Your body would be changing. And when you are changed, your body, you will be able to, you know, move about. You will not just go like that. We are taken away like that. You will be along with the dead saints. You will go and we'll meet him in the air. We are ready. Are we ready? Should some of those come forth, resurrection appear to you, signify the rapture's hand. You know, sometime it will be sorry sight. If you are not part of it, you would see some of your dead Christians suddenly walking by beside your house and seeing you. And if you see that you are not ready, then something definitely wrong. You know, you would have opportunity. The dead in Christ shall rise first, and we will see them. And what will happen to us is, when the seven thunders utter their voices, you and I will receive the rapturing faith. You know, now we preach about the faith to be healed. You will receive the rapturing faith, where this body will change. This body will put on the glorified body, where we will be ready to meet the Lord in the air. We must need to hold fast the promise of God. We firmly establish in the faith that nothing past, present can shake us. It is important that we are led by the Spirit and walk daily in the Spirit and walk by faith. According to the word we are living in, watch and pray that enter into not temptation. Watch therefore and pray always that ye may be counted worthy to escape all things that shall come to pass before the Son of Man. You see, the important aspect is, let no man take your crown. That's what it says. Let no man take your crown. You know, who is going to take your crown? Not Satan even sometimes. He will get a man to take your crown. God will not take your crown. He is giving the crown. But through a man, he will try to take your crown, Satan. That's why he says, make sure that no man take your crown. Henceforth it is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord of righteousness shall give me in that day. Not only me also, but all them that love his appearing. Now we obtain an incorruptible crown. Crown of life which the Lord has promised to them that love him. It is most precious possession. No wonder our Lord exhorts to hold fast, not lightly, tightly to the word of God. This wondrous crown signifies a relationship with him who is crowned King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. It signifies the position, authority and the power as his promise overcomer in the message to our age. His bride will sit up with him in his throne. We will have a crown. God is going to give us a crown, but we are also going to sit him with him in his throne and rule him with himself. Therefore let no man, no creed, no man-made church or denomination deprive you of your crown. Hold fast, preserve. Don't give up. Put on the whole armor of God. Hold the shield of faith, the revelation of the promise before you always. Use only the weapon God has given, the word, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Him that overcometh, will I make him a pillar in the temple of my God. But he says, he will make him a pillar in the temple of my God. He shall go no more out. For his promise from a crown to a throne, and now be made a temple in the pillar. Pillar in the temple. Jesus was the temple of God. Now Jesus in the bride, in me, make me the temple of God. In that overcometh will I make him a pillar in the temple of God. And he shall go no more out. I will make write upon him a new name. Name, a new Jerusalem which come down from heaven. I will write upon him my new name. This is a very important thing. We are coming close to our time. But I want to explain to you. He says, and John saw the Holy City, New Jerusalem, coming down from God, out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with them, and they shall be his people, and he shall be with them, and their God. Kamtidavi saw the bride, the lamb's wife, and carried me away in the spirit to a great high mountain and showed me a great city, holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone precious, even like jasper. I will explain to this scripture next Sunday when we begin the seventh church age. But I want to tell you, we are the new Jerusalem, the holy city. We are the bride, because this bride would have absolutely no minute thing which God does not like. He will fulfill everything, because word is given to us to become strong in the Lord. He has given us His strength, is our word. Our strength is His word. And therefore, in this last stage, He identified the bride as an overcomer. And He said, I will make the name of God revealed to him, a new Jerusalem, and write upon the new name. And this I will explain to you next Sunday. But I want to tell you that God, by His grace, given us to understand this truth in this sixth stage. And as we complete this sixth stage, I want you to think about these scriptures which we brought to you. Because your God has made you a pillar in His temple. Remember that. He has made us, you and me, a pillar in His temple. His temple is not a brick and mortar temple. His temple which He indwells. When you become a temple, what happens? The pillar holds, like these pillars, it holds. So this morning, this evening, let's wait upon the Lord. And as we conclude, let's pray. As Brother Ravi and Sriyan comes to pray for the needs, let's ponder upon the word that is mentioned here and also take up the